state-of-the-art Japanese animation.
Hello, internets. You are listening to the Viga the Oda Gal podcast. Except Viga's not here. She's been kidnapped by pirates. You'll have to suffer with me, Jeremy. Today, we're going to start off with some news. The 5th annual TV DVD Awards are coming out, and some stuff you might recognize has been nominated. Most importantly, Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, Second Gig, the second season of the TV show, has been nominated for Best Animated TV DVD, along with Family Guy, Blue Harvest, Futurama, Beast with a Billion Backs, and Robot Chicken, Star Wars. So I don't know if you're noticing a trend here, but we have two comedy shows making fun of Star Wars, Family Guy and Robot Chicken, neither of which is very good. Family Guy especially is a pretty bad show. A lot of people like it. A lot of people are stupid. Family Guy takes The Simpsons and rehashes the already tired formula, just makes it a tiny bit more edgy, and look, comedy gold! We have the fat, stupid father, we have the neurotic mom, we have the wacky kids, one who is a insecure, kind of screwed up girl, and one who is a troublemaking boy. I guess in Family Guy, he's retarded and fat as well as being a troublemaker, and in Simpsons, he's just a troublemaker. And then we have the baby who's weird in some way, and this way the baby is a megalomaniac or whatever, but it's a really boring formula, and it's like, oh, look, comedy! Yuck. Robot Chicken is occasionally funny. 15 minutes is about as long as this can possibly sustain itself. I like maybe one out of every 50 parody in Robot Chicken, and really, you could do much better claymation, and I've seen it done much better. So, Robot Chicken is mediocre at best. Full-on Star Wars parodies from both of them. I don't like Star Wars very much to begin with. This is stupid. Ghost in the Shell is way better than that crap. I did like Futurama, Beast with a Billion Backs. I don't think it's quite to the level of the better episodes of the TV show, but I thought Beast with a Billion Backs was much funnier than the first movie, Bender's Big Score. Bender's Big Score was not very funny and spent way too much time on this sci-fi premise that was initially interesting but just got more and more convoluted and boring and overlong. I liked Beast with a Billion Backs. I liked the idea of a giant space tentacle monster in a polyamorous relationship with every single sentient being in the galaxy. Good stuff, but I still like Ghost in the Shell a lot better. So I hope Ghost in the Shell wins, even though it probably won't. Next up, Titania. This is a new anime series directed by none other than Ishiguro Noboru, director of the original Super Dimension Fortress Macross, Orgus, a little thing called Legend of the Galactic Heroes, Megazone 2-3, some other stuff I like a lot. Character designer is Haruhiko Mikimoto, character designer for the original Macross, Gundam 0080, aim for the Top Gunbuster, and a bunch of other really cool shit. Also been doing a Gundam manga lately that I like to call Gundam High, but it really has some bizarre French title that I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce. So Mikimoto, Ishiguro, I think this is a good combination. This is being animated by Artland, Ishiguro's studio. You probably know them from, again, Macross, Orgus, Legend of the Galactic Heroes. Legend of the Galactic Heroes, way, way, way long OAV series, over 100 episodes, two really good movies, and a really long series that I couldn't quite handle. Both too long and, well, it's really people in space talking a lot. The movies, I thought, worked a lot better. The first movie is this really cool, like, spaceship war strategy thing. And the second one is also kind of spaceship war strategy, but has a lot more character moments. So it's a little more human that way. Ishiguro directed the first one, of course. I like Legend of the Galactic Heroes movies. Not so much the OAV series. Like I said, it's way long. But I'm still looking forward to Titania. Not only that, just recently, they've released a streaming promo video. Take your web browser, go on over to http://www.titania.jp/special.html. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to it. I've heard people on the internet saying it looks too static, or it looks just like Galactic Heroes. a lot of other naysayers out there. They can all suck my ass. I'm excited about this. Ishiguro directing, this is really cool. This is big news. I was afraid that he was like going to retire and that was going to be the end and we were going to never see anything cool from him again. The music for the Titania trailer, it's kind of terrible. It's good to see 80s butt rock is still alive and well in Japan. Moving along, I know that this is the Viga the Otegao podcast, and as with most anime or manga podcasts involving women, there's sooner or later going to be the topic of BL or yaoi. So I thought I would cover a little news since I'm already copying stuff off Anime News Network for this segment. There is a BL label called De Presse, French D-E-U-X, the en deux, trois, De Presse, their BL label for Aurora Publishing, is putting out 4 new yaoi titles. I don't care or know much about yaoi, I just know that my ex-girlfriend was way too into it. But some of these titles sound pretty entertaining to me. There's Take Me to Heaven, which just makes me think of the Cure song. And then there is Naughty But Nice. This sounds rather bland to me. But here's where it starts getting interesting. Love Round with 2 exclamation points. What exactly could that possibly mean? Is this about falling in love with somebody that you're drinking lots of rounds with? Or is it like love at the gun range firing rounds? Is it about rolling down hills and balls? I can't even imagine what could Love Round possibly mean. Following that is the title that sounds the most interesting to me. It is called Noodle Shop Affair. Now, you could probably take this as, oh, here's a guy who works in a noodle shop and he falls in love with one of the customers at the noodle shop. Maybe, maybe, maybe. But that's not what I thought of when I first heard the title. I thought of a charming, delicate love story between a bowl of ramen and some tofu chunks lovingly dipped into the bowl of ramen and, oh, so warm and salty. Now let's move on to the AMV of the week. I hate AMVs. Anime music videos are one of the worst things related to anime, in my opinion. I do not like the really, really piss-poor choices for music. I do not like the piss-poor choices for animation. And I really don't even like the entire concept of some fan chopping up chunks of something somebody else made and setting it to music that somebody else made and calling it art. Yeah, I do agree that postmodern art has a place. I do agree that you can chop up people's existing work and make something artistic. I just don't think that Gundam Wing fight scenes set to Linkin Park's Closer to the Edge counts as art. In this case, I'll have to go with a parody. We have Mystery Anime Theater 3000. This is a parody of Neon Genesis Evangelion set to the theme song for the old television series Mystery Science Theater. Now, what they did was they took a bunch of scenes and they edited them very cleverly. Every time people's lips are moving, it is in time to the words of the song. There's little, I don't know if they used Adobe After Effects or something cheaper, maybe use Flash or something like that to edit in little characters popping out of ears and stuff, but it's pretty well done and pretty funny. I actually kind of enjoyed this. It's up on YouTube, but I made a tiny URL thing because YouTube URLs are really ugly and long. So take your browser, point it to http://tinyurl.com/4wlikewhiskey, plike papa, flike frank, zlikezebra, rlikeromeo. Okay, that's your AMV of the week. Enjoy. Now it's time to move on to the intershiz. Viga, I totally hate your made-up internet words, and they sound ridiculous when you say them out loud, but I'm doing it just for you, okay? So this week's intershiz is a website called Virtual NES, or VNES. This is a website that lets you play online Flash versions of a ton of old-school Nintendo Entertainment System titles, including total classics like the 3 Super Mario Brothers games, The Legend of Zelda, and a bunch of other really good stuff. Check it out. Just point your browser at http://www.virtualnes.com. Enjoy. So before we get into the thing I'm actually talking about today, I have a couple of comments here for Viga since I've taken over her show. First off, the guy who does the theme song, both the old theme song and the new theme song for the show, Zero Bass. A bass is a fish. Considering this guy makes electronic music, I think he was going for Zero base. Might want to switch that. Also, Viga, your boyfriend. You know, the big nerdy guy. Okay, it's cool that he's a nerd and everything, but I just am confused and fascinated by his nickname. Frobor? What does that mean? Is it like a combination of Frodo and boring? Is it a guy with an afro who bores through something? Is it an acronym? Fully robotic octopus dong? I forgot. What's the last O? Oscar? Optical? Octogenarian? What could this possibly mean? I really, really, really need this explained to me. If anyone out there in Intershiz land can explain it, I'd love to hear about it. Or, Viga, you can just tell me yourself. Moving right along. I don't really want to talk about anime, and I'll probably talk about some manga in a second, but before I get to that, I feel like talking about J-Rock. Now, if you are one of those douchebags whose music collection consists entirely of soundtracks to Final Fantasy games and the theme songs to anime they liked, like for instance, Chobits, I hate you. You have terrible taste. You need to get out of your fucking house more. You deserve to be dragged out into the street and possibly shot. But I'm going to go out on a limb for you here. I've listened to a little J-Rock in my day. There are some pretty cool J-Rock bands. For instance, I really like Polysix. They're sort of a Japanese equivalent of Devo. They have cool uniforms, goofy visors. When they play shows, everybody is totally robotic and stiff except the lead singer and guitarist who's all crazy and bouncing around the stage, and I really like seeing them a lot. There are other cool bands. Like, for instance, I saw this one Japanese punk band one time that was amazing called Sobut, which stands for Sons of Bitches United and True. Sobut, straight up old school punk rock, really good stuff. I got a super amazing t-shirt from them at their show. On the front, there's a crest that says, Sobut, Sons of Bitches United and True, around a circle. Above that, it says, Fuck the Rule. And below it, it says, Have Good Manners. And I love this because this just epitomizes the Japanese tendency to glorify, perhaps, rebellious characters. Glorify iconoclasts in the media, especially characters in adventure stories and such, when their society is actually really, really, really socially restrictive and the nail that sticks out gets hammered down. This is Japan we're talking about. Fuck the rule, have good manners. But let's stop talking about bands that I've actually seen and I really like their music, and let's just rewind back into otaku territory and talk about some terrible shit that everyone loves for no reason. That's right, I'm talking about X Japan. X Japan began in the early 80s. They were one of the pioneering bands in the so-called Visual K movement. Now, do you know what Visual K is? Visual K is basically the Japanese equivalent of butt rock, big hair, makeup, femmy dudes, everything a woman wearing shoulder pads and bad perm could ever want. That's right. X Japan. Now, X Japan, their music started out being basically speed metal. Think maybe like early Metallica, for those of you who aren't really familiar with what speed metal sounds like. They had songs with titles like Orgasm. Sadistic Desire. Oh yeah, and the classic, Stab Me in the Back. But they didn't just sit there on their laurels. No, no, no. They expanded into super, super bad rock ballads like Crucify My Love. Crucify my love, if my love is blind, crucify. Endless Rain. But that wasn't enough, no, because X Japan branched out into overblown J-rock epics full of soaring strings and totally pretentious lyrics. But that's not enough either, because they have songs that even sound almost like they could have been hardcore punk. So they just run the gamut from kind of cool speed metal, hardcore punk stuff, to totally suckfest, terrible, terrible, wish I was Michael Bolton ballads, and really, really pretentious, ridiculous pop rock. Why does everyone love this band so much? Well, it's because they've got flair, they've got panache, they've got history. Early 80s, broke up in 1997, they took a little hiatus here and there. Guitarist Hide did a solo project that was really, really popular, mostly because he died. And another one of those Michael Hutchins-esque moments. Was it a suicide? Was it a bizarre masturbation accident? Was it some ridiculous thing about how guitarists' backs get tired from holding a guitar all the time and a guitar strap and try to stretch their back out? Nobody really knows. But if that wasn't enough, Toshimitsu Toshi Deyama. Toshi was also kind of a tabloid darling because he quit the band and joined a cult. He claims that he decided to quit the band long before he met the cult leader. But really, who believes that? I sure don't. Yoshiki is still working to this day as a producer for bands like Dur and Grey and other such. He's also put out solo stuff, and he's a pretty well-known dude in Japan. And another bizarre parallel to NXS besides the suspicious death, we have a reunion last year. X Japan reunited. No, they didn't get a replacement from a ridiculous reality show, but I still think the similarities are kind of uncanny, especially with the X thing. And now, let's talk about the X for a moment. X Japan was originally just called X, but inconveniently, there was already a band in America called X. Boo hiss, right? How dare those damn Americans take their name away? Well, there's one little problem besides the fact that X Japan imagined they could have some kind of success in the US despite being, well, Asian, and I mean, seriously, American media is totally racist. How many Asian characters do you see in TVs and movies in America? Well, let's see, there's does Bruce Lee count? How about Jackie Chan? Yeah, pretty much Asian characters are limited to being the Kung Fu guy. Yeah, there's a couple of shows here and there that have a token Asian character, but I mean, look how long Margaret Cho's sitcom lasted. Oh yeah, about 5 seconds. X Japan, I'm sorry you never had a chance in the American media, but really, let's not get too full of ourselves here, because X, the American punk rock band, really, really fucking good. So deal with it. So that was X Japan, and now I'm going to talk a little bit about a manga released by none other than Masamune Shiro, creator of Appleseed, Ghost in the Shell, Dominion Tank Police, and other cyberpunk classics. 1983, the manga was produced by Seishinsha in Japan. Recently re-released by Dark Horse in America. So Black Magic. Interesting thing about this. Black Magic was not originally a professional comic. It was a fan-published thing. This was essentially a doujinshi. No, it doesn't have characters from other series, but it is a totally original work and a complete incoherent motherfucking mess. I'm sure many of you old-school fans, and I don't mean old-school as in Astro Boy, I mean old-school as in watched OAVs in the late 80s and early 90s, and is now rolling their eyes at Naruto. People like us, we're familiar with a little OAV called Blackmagic M66. Now, this thing takes one chapter of the manga and turns it into a whole little movie and makes it really, I gotta say, a little bit better. It's almost fun. It's kind of like a Terminator ripoff where there's a crazy robot on the loose. Gotta take care of that problem, Mr. Cop. So that's fine. It's perfectly okay for a little action movie. I don't got a problem with it. I actually kind of enjoy it. The manga, on the other hand, is just all over the fucking place. There's robots, there's magic, there's this bizarre plot that doesn't make any fucking sense. Is it serious? Is it a joke? I can't tell. It has a lot of the tics that Masamune Shirow would really go on to develop in much greater depth later. We have robots. We have people of questionable humanity. We have like weird kind of elf people with magic powers. This was toned down a lot in Appleseed, where we just had robot cat girls. But really, why this is important to the development of Masamune Shirow is the character designs. The design work on the robots, the really pretty humanoid but sort of spooky dead looking robot things. Like, I'm sure most of people who are into Masamune Shirow have watched the Ghost in the Shell movies. You've probably seen Innocence, Ghost in the Shell 2. Innocence features these incredibly creepy sex dolls that kind of look like those little art model, wooden art model things. That creepy robot sex doll thing really owes a lot to the M66 robot. Interestingly enough, in the manga, the robot was one gender and they switched it for the OAV. I don't know why. But either way, the robot is super creepy, has its kind of elf ears and big long flowing hair and spooky, spooky, spooky. But we also have Masamune Shirow's other trademark, which is hot chicks. Shiro can draw hot chicks like nobody's business. But the interesting thing about Shiro hot chicks is they usually have big, ridiculous boobs, but they still have really narrow waists and really small hips. And I'm like, you know, I really don't see that much in manga. And yeah, Shiro did kind of develop into this total horn dog, but you could sort of see where it was coming from here. Today, he seems like too caught up in calendars and art books and all kinds of crap to actually make some useful thing. He's not making comics. He's mostly just crapping out these stupid things and occasionally collaborating with Production IG to make an anime series or movie. Which is okay, I guess, but I'd prefer some original manga. And come on, guys. Man Machine Interface, that was a big pile of crap. But come, you can do something better than that. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Should you read Black Magic? Well, that depends. How into Masamune Shirow are you? If you're really into Shirow, I would say go for it. But keep in mind, this is mostly interesting as a study in what would develop into Shirow as we know him, because this is some pretty rough stuff. The story rambles on, makes very, very little sense. There's all this weird magic crap, and then there's weird technology crap, spaceships and robots, and I'm just like, huh? This is kind of like two different Shiro stories trying to occupy the same space. And if there's a problem with Shiro, it's that Shiro is a really good idea man, but not a very good plot man. He really needs somebody, a strong editor preferably, but maybe even a co-writer, to just sort out the good ideas from the bad and give it a structure that Shiro is just incapable of. This is the most egregious example of Shiro bloat and confusion, despite being very short. I honestly can't give you a synopsis of the story because it just doesn't make any fucking sense. There's this chick, she has magic powers, there's some robots, people getting shot. It just is... I don't know. I do not know what the hell happened in this fucking story. I read the book twice, cover to cover, because I thought maybe if I read it again, it would make more sense. It just doesn't. I originally read this years and years and years ago, and I don't think I really remembered how crazy and incoherent this was. So, I really can't say that this is good for anybody except the Shiro scholar, the Shiro connoisseur, if you will. Everybody else, watch the OAV. It's actually enjoyable. It's a brief little fun kind of action movie, wishes it was Terminator, but, you know, that's no crime. Terminator was a good movie. Don't really bother the manga. It's not really worth it. If you want a better Shiro manga, I say go right to Appleseed. I like Appleseed a lot. The original Ghost in the Shell manga is also quite good. And Dominion Tank Police is a lot of fun. So that's it. I am Jeremy from Destroy All Podcasts DX. www.destroyallpodcastdx.com. I'm filling in for Vega. I hope you have a lovely... Wait, I need to use more internet witticisms. OMG WTF BBQ. Laters! Here's a little music to leave you by. X Japan, from their supposedly last show. This is Scars.